thank the Reverend Baker for the very warm invitation. It's great to be here with you tonight in Newton Ours Free Presbyterian Church. And we do look forward to having all of you next month in Carriduff FPC. And I believe either Reverend Samuel Murray or Reverend Thomas Martin will be bringing God's Word.
I'm in Greenville.
That's the Reverend Martin. Okay. That was very easily sorted, wasn't it? Let me just read a short portion to you tonight from the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through to 9. Let's hear God's word. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou wouldest incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shall I understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. We'll end the reading there at verse 9, and we pray the Lord will stamp with his own approving blessing this reading of his own precious and infallible word. Let's have a little prayer together. Lord, we want to thank thee for this opportunity again for fellowship. We thank thee for this praise that we've been offering to thee, and we acknowledge that thou dost inhabit the praise of thy people. And Lord, thou hast commanded us, praise ye the Lord, and we desire tonight that the very fruit of our lips and the adoration of our heart be acceptable in thy sight. We thank thee for the participation in the quiz and for the reading of thy word. And we pray, Lord, in these closing moments that thou wilt bless even the truth of thy word to our hearts. We desire that thy word will be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Bless the young people. You know all about them. You know the homes that they come from, the lives that they live. Lord, their places of employment, their school, their university. They just know all about their fears and their struggles. And we just pray you'll help us and bless us tonight, for we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to direct your attention tonight to those words that's found in verse 5 of Proverbs 2. Then shall I understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. If I could leave a thought with you tonight, it's this. Find the knowledge of God. Now, Solomon, of course, is speaking to his own son in the flesh. He's saying to him, and find the knowledge of God. And of course, the Bible has loads to say, not only to sons and daughters, but to children and to young people. In fact, if you think of the word youth or youths, there's 71 references in the scriptures alone to youths. If you do a Google search and Bible Gateway, you'll find many hundreds of references to the word son, the word daughter. You'll find again the same thing, many, many hundreds of references. I was thinking, whenever I was asked by Reverend Baker and Reverend Martin to bring a message tonight, and I got before the Lord and I said, Lord, you have loads to say in the scriptures to young people. Now, what do you want me to say to those that will gather in Newton Ards in this particular Sabbath evening? And the thought come to me was the knowledge of God. And what I'm going to say to you tonight is this. Find the knowledge of God. Three things. Think of the importance of the knowledge of God. You see, the knowledge of God, I believe, is the greatest knowledge in the whole of the world. Maybe you're here and you're educated. You've got a university degree behind you. And you have knowledge of science, you have knowledge of medicine, you have knowledge of technology, and that's tremendous. But maybe you're here like me tonight, and you're saying, well, I never had a university education. In fact, I hated school when I was there. I can remember leaving school when I was 16 years of age and throwing my school books into the River Balm. I remember after I got converted at the age of 18, been asked to bring a word of testimony at a young people's meeting in a place called Drumrea. It was Drumrea Presbyterian Church. And I stood up in the meeting, and I was thinking of the words of Ecclesiastes 12 and 1. And I said to the gathered audience, I want you all to turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. And of course, the place erupted. Your brother did very well. Zephani Paneah in relation to Judas, Joseph's name. But I wasn't educated. And I actually confess that I have dyslexia, have difficulty counting, have difficulty spelling, and I have difficulty writing. But you set that to the one side. Whether you tonight have got a university education and you're very smart in your field of learning, or whether you're very poorly educated and you're sort of saying, well, I can hardly spell and read and write, I can hardly count, I'm saying to you tonight, the greatest knowledge in all of the world is the knowledge of God. What did Solomon say to his son? He says, if you look at verse 5, then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord. And that's a concept all in itself. I'm not dealing with that tonight. And he adds, and find the knowledge of God. You see, the knowledge of God, young people, is the essence, I believe, of true Bible-believing Christianity. What sets a man, a woman, a young person apart is the knowledge of God. And it was John Calvin who said in his institutes that the greatest knowledge in the whole of the world is the knowledge of God. And if you begin to know God, then you also begin to know your true self. Now, when I say the knowledge of God, when Solomon said to his son the knowledge of God, he was thinking about the true and living God. He was thinking about a God who is transcendent and infinite. If we think of the question, what is God? Our catechism gives the answer. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And remember, there is but one living and true God. The catechism asks, are there more gods than one? And the answer is no. There's only but one living and true God. And that one living and true God subsists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And these three are the one God, the same in substance, equal in power, in glory. Now, I emphasize that because a very educated man was asked the question, do you believe in God? And if I asked you tonight, do you believe in God? Then you might be thinking, well, which God is he talking about? And this very educated man answered that question in this way. Which God are you talking about? Is it the God of the Muslims? Is it the God of the Buddhists? Is it some other God? Or is it the God who's revealed in the Bible? See, remember the scripture says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the Bible introduces us to the living and the true God. And I'm saying to you tonight, very simply, the importance of the knowledge of God. And it's imperative upon you, in your quest for learning and your search for wisdom, whatever learning you have, whatever wisdom you have in any particular field, the greatest knowledge of all is the knowledge of God. Solomon said to his son, and find the knowledge of God. Now, that's a big subject. And if I had brought, if you remembered, it's been a long week, brother, and it's only started. It's been a long day. I meant to bring a little book with me just to illustrate to you Knowing God. It's written by a guy called J.I. Packer. We would view him as being off the rails now, but in those days he wrote this tremendous book, Knowing God, and I would heartily recommend it to you. And I know that the late Alan Kearns would have talked about selling your shirt to get a copy. Well, I would express that sentiment in relation to this particular book. But think of the first point, the knowledge of God. The second thing is this, the introduction to the knowledge of God. You see, in Psalm 19, I don't know if you've ever read Psalm 19. When I'm out on visitation, sometimes people will say to me to read a particular psalm, and one of their favorite psalms is the Psalm 19. And you see, this Psalm 19 teaches us about two forms of revelation. A general revelation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth showeth forth his handiwork. Day unto day utter a speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech in their language where their voice is not heard. And you see, this created world is preaching and proclaiming a silent message to you. And the message is this, that God is creator and maker. And that God is also sustainer and provider. And you, as a creature in his image, because you are, even though you mightn't realize it, you mightn't fully understand it, you may not have grasped it, but you are a creature in the image of God, and you're totally and absolutely dependent on him. In him you move and live and have being. In him you have breath and life. And without him you'd have no breath, and you'd have no life. And not only are we dependent on him, we are accountable to him. The scripture says that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. I've already quoted Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that word God is Elohim. It's a plural noun. And it's very, very important that you grasp that you're being introduced, as you open your Bible, you're being introduced to the living and the true God who created the heaven and the earth. Remember what we read in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. The Apostle Paul says this, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." And you see, the book of nature reveals to us something of the eternal power and Godhead of God. It testifies that God is. It testifies that God is creator and maker. And that's why the Bible says the fool have said in his heart, there is no God. The man who says there's no God is being an absolute fool. And that's one form of revelation. It's called general revelation. And that general revelation introduces us to God. But there's another form, and that is special revelation. Listen to Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And Psalm 19, from verse 7 right through to 14, deals with what we call special revelation. In other words, the Bible teaches us about God, what he is like, what he has done. And I would encourage you, as I encouraged our own young people on Friday night past, in relation to reading the Bible, the scripture says, blessed is he that readeth. And read your Bible daily. Read it believingly as the word of God. Read it expectantly that God will speak to you. Read it obediently, with a mindset to obey the Lord. Read it joyfully, but also read it prayerfully. And there's an introduction to the knowledge of God. You're not going to know God as the living and true God outside of and apart from the special revelation. And that's why it's important that you read and study the scriptures. You think of the godly man. You want to be a godly man or godly woman, then you need to be characterized by a negative. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, here's what he does do, here's the positive, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate. When does he do it? Day and night. That's the introduction to God. But think of this thirdly, and this will be the final point. The instruction from knowing God. You see, Solomon said to his son, and find the knowledge of God. That's really what he was saying. Why? Because the knowledge of God would impact on his life. Now, when we come to worship, Sabbath evening, Sabbath morning, or other times, we are taking into our minds as we offer praise who God is, what God is like, and what God has done for us in Christ. And once you begin to take into your mind precious truths about the living and the true God, then you're going to reject a lot of false worship.
Because there is a lot of false worship abroad today. Remember, the word worship has to do with worth-ship. It's focusing in on the person and the being of God. And you see, the knowledge of God will so impact on our worship that we want to worship him in a right way, not in a wrong way. So suppose I was a teacher. Probably love to be a teacher, but I'm not. Suppose I set an assignment for the class, and I said to them, okay, I want you to do a two A4-page essay for me on piracy on the seas. So everybody in the class does it over the weekend. They come in on a Monday and they hand me then their various assignments, and I'm going to have to sit and read through them and mark them and give them a particular score. Well, we'll say Johnny comes skipping into class. Good morning, sir. How you doing? There's my homework. But Johnny couldn't be bothered doing an essay on piracy. He couldn't be bothered writing two A4 pages, but he has drew me a lovely picture of a dragon. Now, is that what I've asked for? Is that what I wanted? Was that the assignment that I set? No, the answer is no. Now, what I have to do with Johnny, even though it's a beautiful drawing of a dragon, I have to say to him, I have to reject this, because this is not what's required. This is not what's asked for. You have to do what's asked for. And you see, if you lift that up into the spiritual realm, as we come to worship God, we're told to worship him in the beauty of holiness. And that's only one area, recognizing how holy and great a God he is, and what a terrible thing it is to fall into the hands of the living God. And that ties into the fear of God. And one thing that's absent in our wee country at this minute is these two concepts, the knowledge of God. And because there's no knowledge of God, there's no fear of God. It was the same thing in Hosea's day. Remember what Hosea heard. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there's no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. And isn't that what Northern Ireland is becoming like? Because there's a marked absence of the knowledge of God, there's no fear of God. And therefore, godlessness prevails, lawlessness prevails, emptiness prevails. People doing their own thing, people becoming lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Why? Because there's no fear of him. There's no knowledge of him. Not only does it impact our worship, but young people, it impacts our walk. You see, in my old age now, give things away here, I'm well aware that many young people are struggling at this minute in time. They're struggling with particular sins that have overcome them. They're struggling with temptation that has been talked about in these meetings at the very start. They're struggling with guilt. They're struggling with uncertainty and fear. They're struggling with that which is unknown. And they're asking, is it possible to walk with God in an ungodly world, in an apostate age where there's godlessness and lawlessness, where we have pressures all around us? Is it possible to say no to sin because of the knowledge of God? And the answer is yes. Psalm 1, verse 1. The godly man characterized by the negative. I remember the late Dr. Paisley doing a funeral in the early days of Carrie Duff, as I was there and I was in the home. And Dr. Paisley asked me, coming in through the door, what was Mr. Wesley Adams' favourite psalm? And I said, it was Psalm 1. He said, that's right. And he preached 7 points just out of the top of his head. Absolutely marvellous. And one of the points was, he was a man who learned to say no to sin. And you can only say no to sin when you have the knowledge of God in your heart and in your life. And remember this, we read in the scriptures, Enoch walked with God. He had a testimony that he pleased God. So you can walk with God despite all the struggle, but it's conditional on your knowledge of who God is. It impacts upon our witness. Psalm 46 is a text that's precious to me because it adorns the outside porch of our pulpit. It adorned the pulpit and carried up for many years in the wee schoolhouse, and it was this, be still and know that I am God. God wants to be known. God has made this wonderful revelation of himself in this twofold way. God wants you to know him better and deeper and greater and in a far stronger way. Remember Paul's prayer in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I might know him. You see, if you're going to have victory over sin, if you're going to have victory even in the face of suffering, if you're going to have victory even in your struggles, then you've got to remember this, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. It's the people that know God. And set yourself on a quest to know God better, deeper, greater, and stronger. If you think of the context of Daniel 11:32 that I've just quoted, it's being spiritually strong for God in a dark and difficult day. It's been strong for God in the face of great trial. It's been strong for God even in the manifestation of an anti-Christian society. You see, I'm burdened. And I'm burdened for many of you young people like the Reverend Murray is and the Reverend Baker here and the Reverend Martin and many others. And our burden is this, that you will get to know the God of the Bible. And your knowledge of God will so impact upon every area of your life, not just your worship and your walk and your witness. Because of this reason, so many tonight claim to know him. They say, we love you, Lord Jesus. We are serving you. But the reality is, their hearts and their minds are far from him. The reality is they're a stranger to him. They don't really know him. Remember the Lord Jesus said in John 17 and in the verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You know, we talk about eternal life. We talk about receiving Christ as Lord and Savior, and that's tremendous. And we talk about knowing God, but words are cheap. It's easy to make a statement. Many don't really know him. And you know how I know they don't know him? Because I question, what's their attitude to sin? What's their attitude to a life of service? A life of suffering in a dark, difficult world, where they have to stand up in the classroom and be the only Christian for Christ. Whenever the professor and the teacher mocks the Bible and mocks God and mocks Christ, they're there to stand up for Jesus. What's our attitude about spending time with him? Because that's the only way you get to know somebody. Do we get alone with him? Is it not written, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge? And here's another evidence. Many say they know him, but they're really ignorant of fundamental doctrine. They're ignorant of basic truths to do with Bible-believing Christianity. The Lord's person, the Lord's purpose, the Lord's power, the Lord's promises, the Lord's place. What is the Lord's place? Can I finish with this? In this instruction from the knowledge of God, as Solomon said to his son, and find the knowledge of God. He was wanting this so that it would impact upon his son's life every day and all the days of his life. Right up to the point, remember the Lord Jesus said this in Matthew 6 and 33. Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Those words, the kingdom of God, it's a kingdom of grace now and a kingdom of glory to come. It means submitting yourself, bowing the knee, being part of a kingdom ruled by a king. And that king is none other than Jesus Christ. And you live in servitude and submission to him. See yourself as a sinner. See yourself at best an unprofitable servant. See yourself as being unworthy to be called his son. And that's his rightful place. Central. Chief. Now, is that true of you tonight? I leave this little thought with you. It has burdened my heart to say to the young people in the Free Presbyterian Church, and find the knowledge of God. God can be known. If you want to know him, you can know him. You can pray. You can seek for him as a man searches for silver or hid treasure. And if you seek with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you will find him to be more wonderful and more blessed than I have ever described or could describe with my limited education. I leave this little thought with you. Remember the importance. What's the most important knowledge that you could have? Don't envy. And I don't envy those who have got degrees and even those who are professors. But I want to tell you, someone who pulls a plow or works in a farmyard or works in a factory who has the knowledge of God, they have more knowledge than all the professors in the university. And remember the introduction, the book of nature, but the book of scripture, God revealing himself. And here's the instruction that must impact upon every area of your life. The Lord bless you tonight.
Do you want to close, brother?
Yeah, okay. We're going to ask the Reverend Baker. He's going to close. Thank you.
So we'll just seek the Lord together in prayer as we come to a finish. Do you remember that we have the next meeting May the 8th, okay? So same time, May the 8th in our Carriduff Church. Do stay for the light refreshments. If you just go through this door here and turn left and go into the hall, there are some chairs there, and do help yourself to what is available. So let's just pray for a few moments. Father, we thank you this evening for just reminding us of the need to know our God through Jesus Christ. We pray that each young person here this evening, all of us as we gather together, will understand what it means to search the scriptures and in them find Christ revealed to our soul. And Father, so impact us and change us and deal with us. And Lord, if we are far from thee, draw us back to our first love, we ask. Do bless the refreshments and the fellowship that we have together, and then grant each and every one of us safety as we travel to our various homes, some nearer and some further. But throughout this week, Lord, tarry with our hearts and draw near to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, guys, well, just make sure you go through there. Don't hold back.